In 1824, he proposes the following scheme to Jared Sparks. There are in the United States 1.5 million people of color in slavery. To send off the whole of these at once, nobody conceives to be practical for us or expedient for them. Let us take 25 years for its accomplishment, within which time they will be doubled. Their estimated value is property in the first place, for actual property has been lawfully vested in that form, and who can lawfully take it from that possessor? At an average of $200 each, young and old, would amount to $600 million, which must be paid or lost by somebody. There is, I think, a way in which it can be done. That is, by emancipating the afterborn, leaving them on due compensation with their mothers until their services are worth their maintenance, and then putting them to industrious occupations until a proper age for deportation. Saint Domingo has become independent, and with a population of that color only, and if the public papers are to be credited, their chief offers to pay their passage, to receive them as free citizens, and to provide them employment. This leaves, then, for the General Confederacy no expense, but of nurture with the mother a few years, and would call, of course, for a very moderate appropriation of the vacant lands. Suppose the whole annual increase to be of 60,000 effective births. 50 vessels of 400 tons burden each, constantly employed in that short run, would carry off the increase of every year, and the old stock would die off in the ordinary course of nature. It's a very disturbing passage here, referring to human beings as the old stock, lessening from the commencement until its final disappearance. In this way, no violation of private right is proposed. I am aware that this subject involves some constitutional scruples, but a liberal construction, this coming from a strict constructionist, justified by the object may go far, and an amendment of the Constitution the whole length necessary. And then there is this quite disturbing final sentence, two sentences rather. The separation of infants from their mothers, too, would produce some scruples of humanity, but this would be straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Well, this is certainly a tortured sort of conception of this problem, thinking of separating infants from mothers as nothing more than straining at a gnat. Well, Jefferson was no longer able to wish away this issue in a spirit of blithe optimism when faced with the Missouri controversy, which awoke him, as he claimed, like a fire bell in the night. And Jefferson's reaction to the controversy is striking. He'll take an ardently pro-Southern position, pro-slavery in the territories position, a position associated with both states' rights convictions, fear of Northern encroachment, and actually would later be known as fire eating. Well, here's the context of the Missouri controversy. In 1819, Missouri applied for statehood. Missouri was part of the Louisiana Purchase. At this point, there were 11 slave and 11 free states, and Missouri was a slave state. So Representative James Talmadge of New York offers an amendment to the Missouri Bill, prohibiting the further importation of slaves to Missouri and gradual emancipation. When Jefferson learns of this, he writes to John Holmes in 1820, "This momentous question, like a fire bell in the night, awakened and filled me with terror. I considered it at once as the knell of the Union, a geographical line coinciding with a marked principle, moral and political, once conceived and held up to the angry passions of men, will never be obliterated, and every new irritation will mark it deeper and deeper. I can say with conscious truth, that there is not a man on earth who would sacrifice more than I would to relieve us from this heavy reproach in any practicable way. But as it is, we have the wolf by the ears, and we can neither hold him nor safely let him go. Justice is in one scale, and self-preservation in the other." And then we see Jefferson's solution, and it's a quite disturbing one. "Of one thing I am certain, that as the passage of slaves from one state to another would not make a slave of a single human being who would not be so without it, so their diffusion over a greater surface would make them individually happier, and proportionally facilitate the accomplishment of their emancipation by dividing the burden on a greater number of coadjutors. Now, this is an incredibly fanciful and strained conception, What he's arguing is that the best way to end slavery is to spread the burden around. And the best way to do that is to spread slavery to as many states as possible. And in fact, that will be the ultimate implication of the infamous Dred Scott decision later.